Oh no.
Barely is still a person.
Speaking of nouns,
you're a piece of shit.
Head over to Facebook, where you can like the page, you can share the page, you can comment on the page, and the stuff that's posted on the page. Then head over to Twitter, where our Twitter handle is
@comesnaturalpod.
And you can follow us there. Good job, Mike. I'm proud of you.
Fuck you, Joe.
You can. That's Joe's one job, man. Don't take it away.
You had one job.
You know what? Mike wants to take it over, apparently.
Nah. You can follow us on there. You can tweet at us. We'll tweet you back. Well, Mike will tweet you back. He'll even follow you because he needs friends.
Motherfucker.
He's a Twitter-holic. Then you can head over to iTunes where you can subscribe to the show so you get the show every day it comes out, which right now is Wednesdays and Fridays. And you can like that, which is basically liking it on Facebook. It doesn't go anywhere. You can share it if you wanted to. Then you can head over to blogtalkradio.com/comesnaturally. And you can follow us on there, and you can find other ways to listen if you don't use iTunes. Get the RSS feed and dump it into whatever podcast program you want to use. Or stream it from the website, whichever way you want to do it. Cool? All right.
Cool.
Hey, Comes Naturally, we are...
Joe.
Mike.
I am Cody, and joining us today is...
You've been waiting for that.
No, that's not a name at all.
No one has been...
Pause.
No.
Hold on.
You don't...
You
say
Taj? You
say
homo?
I said no. He said no. I said homo. So no homo.
You have to say. You
just. We were waiting for your name, and you said homo.
Yeah.
No.
Like
that wasn't the first thing that I said though.
Yeah, but that's
the first thing was pause. You said pause.
So maybe my name is pause.
Homo. Pause homo.
Your name is pause.
Last name homo. Shit.
Last name.
Well, I mean, that's you seem at home.
Yeah.
Like a really bad Drake song.
Oh.
Really? Is that a challenge?
Apparently.
Greatest challenge in the world.
That's not a bad one.
That's not a bad one at all.
Can we get some celebrities to start doing this one?
Joseph?
No, not too much.
I mean, not enough. Am I right? Am I right?
You're right.
Yeah.
Hey. Thanks, Mike. Hey, speaking of challenges, what's up, guys? I didn't have anything to go for it. I was trying to do that segue thing again.
Cinnamon challenge.
Oh, segue like a motherfucker?
Slam. Cinnamon challenge.
What? Slam. It's still a thing, right? We're doing segue like a motherfucker?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm in.
Yep. Always.
Milk challenge?
Gross.
So,
we could do...
Cinnamon milk.
The one chip the challenge? Ones?
Yeah.
One chip. Which is sold out right now online.
Hot wing challenge?
Did they finally sell out of it?
Yeah.
We should do a hot sauce challenge in honor of hot wings on the show.
No. Well, he likes when people make the video and then send it in, like post it, like he's like an homage. As long as you're not trying to rip them off, like steal it, like you do it as with friends, or whatever. And I was thinking about ordering like a bunch of those sauces and trying it, but let's I was it. Like, oh man,
I do it.
Like, do I get everyone's spit buckets and shit buckets, or
more yeah, shit buckets?
Like,
spit
we really have to plan ahead because like,
nope, next week,
it's fine.
You hear it here first. Next week, hot no,
no,
challenge.
No, no, soon. Coming soon.
Coming soon. Comes naturally.
I don't know if I can get those sauces by next week.
Hot wing challenge.
Because the We're hot one sauces are sold
super
out.
Super right hot now. Shit and puke, maybe, on a podcast.
Yep.
It's probably not as good as watching it.
Either way, it's going to be horrible.
But this is our medium.
Kara, whatever her name is, from Valerian and from Suicide Squad,
yeah,
she was Jermaine on it. And she didn't drink real milk, which doesn't actually have lactose in it. Because she was drinking almond milk,
yeah.
So it actually wouldn't cool down the spicy.
Still, it would have to be better than like a soda or something.
Well, granted, yeah.
Yeah.
So I was like, she just might as well drink.
What you want to do is like the
vegans.
Yeah. Well, I mean, well, she's not a vegan.
Well, she's eating hot wings. Yeah. Why wouldn't she? Was she lactose intolerant?
She might be lactose intolerant. Yeah.
Like lactose intolerant.
The kind of lactose intolerant that makes you fart a lot.
Oh, like Tosh?
Yeah.
Whoa.
He pointed at you. I just said it out loud.
It's more burps than anything else. Clint is super lactose intolerant.
Is it?
That kid almost killed us one time eating fucking chili cheese Fritos.
Uh-oh.
Dustin, Clint, and I were driving to San Diego, and we stopped like we normally do in Gila Bend. And we...
Gila Bend.
Gila yes. Bend. We get snacks or whatever. He decides, I'm going to get...
Gila Bend? Or is it Gila?
It's Gila.
Gila. That's what I said.
But he said Gila.
You said Gila. Gila.
You said Gila.
Yeah, whatever.
Fuck out of here with that.
Gila Bend. How's that? Is that better?
Good.
Sure.
Not really.
So we stop. We all get snacks and stuff. He gets chili cheese Fritos. I don't know if he just didn't think about it because, like, it couldn't have real cheese in it, right? Like, But it's straight up powdered cheese. Like it says, yeah, it's like not a fake like cheese. And he eats these things. At one point, he burps, right? Well, we don't. It's like silent. You know,
burps and shits at the same time.
No, it legitimately smelled like someone shit a corpse out of his mouth. It was the worst smell ever. Like at first, I was like, "Oh my god, what the hell? Did someone hit like a rotten skunk?" It was so bad. And then we're all laughing. And then it happens again. And I was like, "What the fuck?" He's like, "I don't know, dude. I did was burp." And I was like, "What?"
The corpse out of your mouth is just.
And so I turn, and he burps, and I swear to God, light shimmers around it. And I was like, "Huh?" Like, oh god, it was the worst smell I've ever smelled in my life. And I worked in a morgue. So
yeah, let's talk about that.
We have talked about that.
That's weird, right?
We talked about
that. That's about the same as me working at the cemetery for all those years.
He worked at a cemetery.
I didn't know you worked.
He sold
literally dug
plots,
and sold graves,
dead bodies.
Yeah. And no, you don't sell dead bodies.
Oh, he dug dead bodies.
Dead
bodies. You know what I mean? He sold
dead
bodies.
I started out on the grounds crew, so sure I dug graves, illegal. And then I sold property and commodities, which is basically selling graves and headstones.
Yeah, motherfucker.
For 4 years.
That's like a rough salesman job because you.
It is not hard at all.
You can't get repeat customers though.
Yes, you can. Everything. Most of the sales are done on a pre-need basis.
No, you get return visitors, but customers.
No.
Many people. It's like, for example. You and Jen, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so if you have four kids, eventually they're going to have to bury you.
Right.
They return once for you, because you're easily going first, unless Jen for dies sure. of like a car accident or something. Then Jen, and then like they would come back, so you'd have repeat customers.
So really, that's it's
weird.
A pre-need sales type of environment where
as,
you're selling.
As the movie Mr. Brooks explains.
As best.
There's many things people
Dan
always
Cook's
need.
Dan Cook's finest work?
Yeah, Dan Cook's finest work. Other than that, he was great in American Gods.
I've never seen it.
Yeah. I've never seen.
Yeah.
It's good. It's the Neil Gaiman show.
Right.
I've never seen Mr. Brooks.
You never seen Mr. Brooks? Oh, my God. It's so good. But he says that everyone needs cemeteries and utilities. So it's really hard to own the electric company. So why not have a cemetery? Plus, it gives them a spot to bury bodies. Because what he would do is he would have the grounds crew dig a normal 6 foot or under, which is actually incorrect, right?
That's correct.
It is correct?
No, it's incorrect.
Incorrect, yeah, correct. Yeah, remember. And he would dump the bodies in to a fresh grave, because they usually dig it the night before so the soil's solid, so when they stand on it, it doesn't collapse. And he would put it in there and lightly cover it, so it just looks like an empty hole. No one's going to measure, like, oh, it's not 6 feet, you know, let's dig more. It just looks like, see, and then they put the coffin
so
in.
So a long time ago, casket. That whole 6 feet thing used to be true.
Yeah.
But it is no longer true, because now the regulation is how far from the top of the ground. Not how deep you bury them. So
weird, right?
In California, regulations are for a single depth grave 12 inches from the top of the ground, and for a double depth grave it's 18 inches.
Explain a double. This is fucking weird to me.
So doubles are when you have a liner or whatever that you put inside the ground, and you bury one on top of the other.
Hmm. Weird, right?
So. The vaults that we had were cement. They had a cement piece that would block off that center area. So you can put one casket in, put the cement piece in, and then put another casket on top. Hmm. And so you would
look at the gears turn.
You would be able to bury.
It's fucking weird,
depth.
Right?
Yeah.
Now, this isn't the question I had for him.
Well, the question I would have is...
Oh, here it is. I know what it is.
They're family members?
Sometimes.
Sometimes.
What do you mean
it's
sometimes?
It's up to the person. So... You know, some people like best friends. You know, some best friends would want to, you know, be buried together, things of that nature. So there's all sorts of...
Triple.
Mm-hmm.
There's all sorts of possibilities.
Taj has to bury us.
He's going
to
be a family.
Sometimes a family will have, you know, a double-depth grave. They buried their whomever and then decided that they didn't want to bury anybody else there so they can sell off that second...
Someone completely different.
So, but you got to remember that they don't own the property. They own use of the property. Yeah. So they can sell off that second spot to whomever they want.
So they stack like the tombstones on top of each other too?
So in most...
on the other
so ends. Above ground markers are less of a thing now. They're all flat. And so when you go to most cemeteries that are newer, it's just a flat marker that has names on it. And you can stack them on top of each other, next to each other, however, as long as they're not wider than the property itself, the grave. And so it really doesn't matter.
Isn't that weird?
It is weird.
Just never thought about it before.
Just get cremated.
Yeah, and sprinkle it in, like, in a playground somewhere.
Similarly, in cremation gardens or in cremation graves, you can actually enter two sets of cremains.
But if you want it. Just dirt at that point.
It is not just dirt.
Well, it's ash.
Because
it's
ash. Yeah. Yes, but
you, just said cremains.
That's what it's called.
Cremains.
Yeah, like, that's... I don't know why I think that's hilarious that cremated remains has a, like...
Has an actual term.
Yeah, in the business, you guys just say cremains.
Real quick question.
It's odd.
To go along with this, have you watched Stranger Things Season 2?
No.
Yeah, let's get into it.
We're going to ruin so much for you.
Let's get into it.
Was that the same black motherfucker?
Yeah.
Or was there an actual segue?
No, that was it. Yeah, because we're going to talk about that. But there is an actual segue to it. So it's an actual legit one. The reason I asked is because we are going to spoil it. We're going to talk about shit.
I'm ready.
But do you think they were able to find Baba's body? I mean, they don't have barbs, so you know they buried an empty casket.
Yeah. Yeah, they probably were able to get some of it.
Some of it?
Ugh, yeah.
Man.
I mean, he died above ground.
Yeah, but a lot of the dumb dogs were just chomping down.
Yeah. But I would imagine that that they just left pieces of it there.
Do you think they had to, like, did Joyce have to go, like, identify it? Oh, yeah, God. I think that's it. I mean, he was the only corpse in the lobby that I could see.
That you could see, exactly. Yeah.
So, I mean.
But I'd imagine.
But they were fucking.
Yeah.
Yeah, going down. Do you know who Bob is, by the way?
I do.
Okay. So have you started watching any of it?
Season one?
No, season two.
No.
Yeah, well, Bob's not in season one.
Continue.
So, do you know who Bob is?
You explained it to me before.
Sean Astin?
Yeah.
Okay, just making sure. I don't remember if it was
Rudy?
Who I was talking to.
Rudy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dang. He dies, by the way, in episode 8.
Good.
Well,
it was pretty late. Yeah. Are there? It was probably like
episode 8. Never to make that team
yeah,
anyway.
It was.
How many episodes are there?
9.
Oh, well, then, that was a good run.
Easy watch. Mm-hmm. Catch up.
Not a main character.
Says the guy who won't even attempt the 17 episodes.
But they still built him
8 and 9.
Yeah, they still built him up in such a way that you actually cared about him. You know?
Yeah, that's the thing is like
he's such
a
good guy.
So, question to you, since you're the only one in this room besides myself who's watched it, did you kind of think he was a bad guy in a way?
No.
See, that whole conversation he had with Will about the standing up to the clown
in the car,
The car in the dream, I thought that was a setup because he knew what was going on, and he was trying to get him to. Submit to it, like, oh, go away, and then like it got him.
Nope.
Only thing I thought I was like, oh, I think this motherfucker, because there's this look he has. I was like, and then obviously he wasn't. But did you get the Goonies reference?
Which one?
It was fucking blatant.
Where?
When he goes and sees the map for the first time, the tunnel map, and he sees they say this is where we have to find the X, and he goes, what's buried there? The pirate gold.
Oh yeah.
Fucking hilarious.
They have, fucking like, layers. Little things like that sprinkled throughout
the whole fucking, entire thing. Yeah, did you catch the Karate Kid one? Which one of my favorite ones?
Oh, it was the kid dressed up as...
Yeah, Cobra Kai.
Cobra Kai,
yep.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
But that's what I mean. I can't remember. I'd have to watch it again and again and again to, like, sit there and remember all that little shit. Because
there's so much good stuff in it.
The costumes and whatnot just through the whole time. He was like, that's the Cobra Kai, and that's the... And then,
yeah, the Halloween party
was
fucking...
Oh, my God, this is fucking
spot
amazing.
On. Anyway, so, yeah, Stranger Things 2... Amazing.
Did you expect? First off, I didn't know Paul Reiser was going to be in season 2. Did you expect him to be a bad guy?
A baddish guy, yes.
See, I went into it and I, you know, they show him and I'm like, oh my God, that's Paul Reiser. Are they going to aliens him? You know,
that's the idea.
Where, yeah, so that's why I kept expecting and just they kind of played around with it, but I so loved that he wasn't a bad guy.
He wasn't a Brenner.
No.
Matthew Modine, by the way, for those who don't know who Brenner is. Mike.
I know.
Because he wasn't good. Like he was lawful neutral, I guess you would say, if you want to go with the D&D terms. He's not super, like he's trying to do right by the company, but he's also hiding a bunch of shit, which is what brings him down at the end. With the whole like recording of him talking about the owning up to the death of or the kidnapping of Will and or the disappearance of Will, and Barb's death.
Yeah, it, I mean, there's definitely the aspect where he's trying to hide that what had happened previously. Yeah.
But he's not he's not a good. He's not a bad guy.
From right then and there, he genuinely is trying to help Will.
Yep.
You know, he's not keeping any known secrets
for the most part. No. Yeah. From I mean, he's because he shows brings, Jonathan and Nancy. So
yeah, he brings Hopper down to the portal that's still opening. He's like, no, look, we we're trying to contain it. Yeah. You know. And they actually don't really understand what's going on.
Yeah. So I mean, he's not trying to capture
you know, Demogorgons or Demodogs as they end up calling the these versions of them. And so, but just knowing him from Aliens, his character from Aliens, and you can so see the influence of Aliens.
Oh, yeah.
because in
Aliens, in he wasn't bad.
But he was doing
something despicable.
Exactly. Yes. And that's why I kind of kept wondering throughout the whole entire season, up until the last point where he just the Demodogs come into the base and he's just like, we need to get out of here.
Yeah.
Like,
so he definitely tries to help him. Yeah. But he's still doing some shady shit.
But that's an after-the-fact
type. Yeah, but it's not like it was in Brennan where he's like kidnapping kids.
He's not
kids
still
and,
actively
you know,
trying to explore
make human weapons.
Exactly
stuff.
Like
yeah.
that.
Of course, yeah. Speaking of Brenner, do you think he's still alive?
Oh,
yes.
Man, I don't
Shut
know.
Shut your fucking mouth,
okay,
Mike.
I'm just jumping in, man.
You have no evidence, all right?
Do you have any evidence?
It's mentioned.
The fat guy from Constantine? Said that he is still alive.
So, Mike, give you reference to remember Constantine the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Remember the fat guy that drowned in the liquor.
Yeah.
He's in it.
Nice.
The priest.
Yeah.
The fact that he says no, he's still alive, makes me believe that yes, he is still alive.
Me too.
I'm trying to remember how did he die.
He got tackled by the Demogorgon in the first one.
Yeah. So.
But then see the Demogorgon we didn't see him munch down on him because he eventually went after the kids.
Yeah. So I'm thinking he is still alive.
He's gonna be fucked up though, I'm pretty sure.
Oh yeah.
Because Demogorgon was not nothing to trifle with, you know what I mean?
No.
Yeah, so I mean that was just because that whole thing I was like, I think this is a setup for like something going on. Mm-hmm. Because I think there might be obviously we know there's at least 11 specimens because
you get to 11.
And you meet 8.
Yeah. So there's
obviously
9 and 10.
9 and 10. And then anything before, so mm-hmm. 7 through 1.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just wondering if there's facilities somewhere else other than Hawkins that has these other ones.
Would have been, yes.
Like they graduated past, because obviously we find out they're not all powers are like 11s.
Right.
Some of obviously hers are more mental, mm-hmm. or like instead of physical. So I'm wondering what other powers the other ones have, and are they successful tests, and are they doing something else? You know what I mean? Are they could be a Black Ops force that goes out and murders people, you know?
Right.
And they don't even have to be kids. They can just be, at this point, they could be adults because they could have been aging over the years.
Right. It actually makes me believe or wonder, her mom seemed to actually have some sort of power.
Well, yeah, because remember, so in the first season, they talk about how they enhanced what she naturally had with drugs.
Right, but they didn't really say much about her mother.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, so it was kind of interesting to see that she actually had
some
the sort
ability
of
to go to
that
in between realm. Yeah.
A little bit of stuff what 11 could do.
Which I think they. Well, she interacts in the void. It's not that she removes stuff.
A little bit.
Yeah.
She's able to make the lights flicker.
Yep.
And she's able to communicate within the TV channel and able to communicate, sort of communicate within the void, which was absolutely disturbing. But
fuck, that was so
does
weird.
Explain a whole lot of stuff. You know why she's sitting there just saying rainbow and
rainbow, four to the left and whatever
because
the combination
to combination of
and then is it 250? What was the brain?
240.
240. Yeah, whatever it was.
240.
Yeah. Yeah. So basically, if you're a big fan of Stranger Things, like two of us are,
like me,
yeah, like Mike. Mike's a huge fan, so much that he's never actually watched the trailer.
Interested.
I respect it so much.
He doesn't watch it.
I don't want to watch it.
He's like, I don't want to tarnish it.
To be fair, though, like it's built up so, like
don't give me that bullshit.
If I watch it and it's not the absolute greatest show ever, I'm gonna be disappointed.
Then there's something wrong with you.
Fuck, what was I going to say?
Is it the greatest show of all
time? In all fairness, it has been built up a great deal.
I would say it lives up to it. It's my favorite show.
Ever.
It is, yes.
Of all time.
The kind of thing where, like, I have the same level of depression when this ends, if not more, than when Game of Thrones ends.
Yeah, because there's literally that void in your life. Like,
I thought you were going to say 24. Kidding.
Dude, I didn't watch the last season of 24 until the TV miniseries movie thing was coming out.
Are you talking about the most recent or the last?
No, the actual one with the real 24 that wasn't canceled.
I watched that shit.
Like, I didn't watch that last season. I watched all the way up, and I was like, begrudgingly, because it kind of fell off for me. And the last season, I was like, you know what? I don't really care. I don't care so much about it. And then when they got ready to come back and do like that miniseries with what's her face from Catelyn Stark from Game of Thrones. I was like, you know what?
Yeah, I don't know who that is.
I'll go.
You know,
the bad guy. The bad guy lady.
No watching, no Game of Thrones.
No. Well, you watched 24, right?
Absolutely.
The TV miniseries they did? Remember the bag chick?
Yes.
The mom?
Uh-huh.
That's Lyanna Stark from Game of Thrones.
Okay.
Sean Bean's wife.
Sean Bean.
Who?
Solid actor. Died.
I didn't watch the last season of 24 until that came out. I didn't watch
any season of 24.
How it was really good. How
the fuck do you live?
It gives me that panicky attack feel that I get when I watch cooking competitions, because you see, like, you know what you want to have happen.
But then it happens.
Yeah, you want Bobby Flay to fucking lose.
Yes.
But rarely does he.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Yes. But you're like, just do this.
Morimoto's always going to beat him, though.
Well, yeah.
Fuck you, Flay.
Got his number every time. So, yeah, but I enjoy it. It's like, I like the format of 24, too, where it's like, you get the whole season.
Hours,
it's
just,
you know, obviously it's 24 hours.
Yeah.
But it's they don't have to throw filler in to try to make it seem like, oh, it's been a week. It's like, no, like everything's rushes.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's super fun. The continuity, like the line producer for that show must go home drinking every night. Because continuity has to be fucking spot on, because it's the same
because it's the next hour. Storyline and all that. I mean, I wish more shows would do that, though, because I'm tired of all the other bullshit.
I like the thought process, like Stranger Things and 24, where one season is one story arc. Mm-hmm. Unlike procedural shows, no offense against Law and Order, they do a really good job. Every week, except for unless you do special ones, is like a bad guy of the week, you know, like a different story. I like them developing more of it, you know, not Dragon Ball Z in it, where there's like a fight will last five episodes. Or fucking Naruto, like in the middle of a fight, someone will fucking meditate for 3 weeks. Even though the span of the episode, time only travels. Mm. Oh, it's catching up. Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah.
Joe's been keeping an eye over here. But yeah, so back to Stranger Things and how awesome it is. The additions to the casts, what do you think?
Was Ralph Macchio in it?
No.
No.
All the other 80s people got in it.
I mean, one other 80s person got in it. Well, Paul Reiser technically was from the
80s. Yeah, he's an 80s guy. Fuck you.
Yes, he technically was.
Yes, but more of a 90s guy with your favorite show.
Yeah. Mad About You.
Yeah.
Fuck out of here.
He loves Mad About You, dude.
I used to watch it so much. All the time.
It's no Perfect Strangers, but...
Thank you very much.
I love Mad About You so much, I watch it on DVD.
He bought the box set.
Yeah, because I can't find it anywhere else.
That's a little much.
That is...
It was only really like 20 bucks.
That's really loving that show, though. Because I'm not saying, like, I mean, there are shows I like. Like, I could easily say I would get down on, like, Bosom Buddies or something like that, but I'm not going to buy it.
Oh. Well, yeah. I'm not a cheap asshole.
Fair enough.
But, damn. So, of the new cast members,
mm-hmm.
we have Max, Billy, Bob, Bob.
Are they related in any way?
No.
Because in which case you would say Billy Bob.
I can't think of Paul Reiser's character's name right now.
I can't think of it either. Doctor.
The Doctor. And I think that is it for new cast members. Brett Gelman, Murray.
That I see all over the internet looking like a 80s Zac Efron.
Oh, that's Billy.
Is he annoying as fuck?
Do you know who that is, right?
No, I don't know.
That's Dacre Montgomery. He's a Red Power Ranger from the new movies.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Nice.
He plays an asshole.
Yeah, he plays
a complete asshole.
I haven't seen that fucking
in the show.
Really? Yeah. Oh, I love that movie.
Was it really
Power Rangers?
Yeah. So much fun, dude. It just sucks because, you know, it's not going to get a proper sequel. Because it didn't do as well as they wanted it to.
Money, man.
Because people were shitting on it before it even came out.
Well, it was caught in between the make it more violent and more like hardcore for like adults ish, yeah. And then still trying to
campy
make it not campy, not, but no, like make that, it okay for kids.
Yeah.
So it was like in this weird middle ground where it didn't really have an identity, which. If they did it a little bit differently, people would have said, "Oh, it's for everyone." But like, they kind of missed a little bit.
They wanted to make it in the realm of like the comic book movies are nowadays, where it has like that. You're right on the edge of just being too violent, but you still have that like jokey, fun stuff that doesn't make it, you know, goofy, weird talk, weird when you know we're in our suits and we pantomime what we're talking about, sort of shit.
Kind of in relation to that, I had a legit question: do you think Deadpool was the catalyst that said it's totally okay, just fucking go for it?
Yes.
Or do you think it was something slightly before that?
No. So Deadpool was what caused this explosion of R-rated movies.
Right. Certainly afterwards, the crossover has happened in full effect.
Oh yeah. So the reason why, because Fox used it as a test. They're like, hey, if we can make this super successful with the content it has, but make it rated R, we have a lot more we can do. So obviously Logan came out and did Gangbusters, right. And it just literally just said they proved their own point. They're like, hey, we have it. So it was definitely the one that changed the game for everybody. Now that one, the next step with that is can they continue the what they did with it in the next one and still make it as good?
Is it sustainable?
Yes. Because Logan is a different movie. Yeah. It's rated R and it's a comic book franchise, but it's a different movie.
Right.
I don't want repeats of Deadpool.
So you're just over asking, and over again.
Can you make a rated R movie
and then make another one that's not the exact same?
Yeah, exactly. Because with Logan, I wouldn't say we're worried about Logan. We were worried about it not being like all the other Wolverine movies and X-Men movies of late.
Yeah, they suck.
That's what I'm saying.
Partly okay with some of the X-Men movies, but the Wolverine movies were not good.
That's because the content you can't have Wolverine that way. You need to have him the way they had in Logan.
Bloody and very.
Yeah, so that's the thing. So with Deadpool, that set, I would say, not a different standard, but it set a standard saying, hey, you can make real movies and have all that stuff in it that makes what people like about it. Because there's a reason Deadpool is the way Deadpool was. It's because the comic books, what people like, the source material, is violent, bloody, dirty, all that stuff.
And comedic,
you know what I mean? It's all of that in one. If you could successfully get all those ingredients into the bowl, mix it up, and make a good movie, yes, it is. Now, R-rated comedies, Deadpool wasn't the standard for that. It was, it's the standard for comic book-based R-rated movies. Can you make a successful R-rated comic book movie that is true to its source material? Because you can make anything R-rated just by throwing in F-bombs.
Right.
And they were doing so much so, and it was in an interview with the director, the first treatment they gave of the script to the studio, they're like, yeah, it's cool, that'll hit PG-13. They're like, no, what? We want R.
We don't want that.
They're like, we're sorry, you just don't have enough in it. So they're like, fuck it. And they dropped in like 20 more F-bombs and they're like in blood everywhere. And they're like, bingo. And they got it. Cause they're like the mark is so easy to miss rated R now, where unless it's language, use of certain language, you're like Kevin Smith has it, where his movies aren't violent by any means.
No.
But the shit they say in it gets that rated R. And he tries to cut certain things out to try to get it below that, because up until now, it's really hard to sell a movie at rated R that isn't, you know, like that. Now it's like there's a gold standard and it is Deadpool. This is how you do it and do it well. It's not the fact that it was just rated R, is the fact that they took the content they had, made it rated R, and it was good.
Super successful.
Yeah. Like, to me, if you want to, like, what's the standard for rated R comedy? Hangover 1.
Mm-hmm.
It's crude.
Fucking hilarious.
Hilarious. And it hits the mark it needs to. It does everything it needs to be what it wants to be, which is a rated R comedy. Like a baby jerking off at a table. You know what I mean? Like, that kind of stuff. Mike Tyson punching a dude in a hotel room. It has all those things, right? Right. Those two things aren't going to make a movie rated R.
No.
It's the fucking on-screen dicks and the gratuitous use of bad language.
So, do you think that they can do it again? Do you think Deadpool 2 will be what they want it to be? Not what it needs to be, but what they want it to be, which is a sequel that doesn't reiterate some, you know, the jokes or doesn't, you know, regurgitate all the same things that we've already seen.
The yes and no. So we already know that they're steering away from the slapsticky stuff as much as they did in the first one because they're bringing in Cable and
same
they
writers,
want
to, though, right?
What?
Same writers?
Yes. Yeah. Mm. But what they're doing differently with this one is they're looking at this one to be like a buddy cop movie versus a slapstick movie.
Right.
Cuz the first one was very cartoony.
Very much.
And it's
but it works so well.
Yeah,
Deadpool's in this unique position where it could do six movies and it could have a different type of movie every time. It's trying to do. So you can have like that slapsticky cartoony one like the first one. This next one could be like their version of a Lethal Weapon. Yep. And then the one after that could be like a, you know, they could do different genres within that movie.
But as long as the character of Deadpool stays the way he is, where he is funny, he breaks the fourth wall. I'm hoping that they do more of a linear story this way, so it's not cutting back to that whole different views type
right.
thing with the first one.
Here, yep. goes back.
And I want them to do something different, but what they need to do is they need to make something different, but with Ryan Reynolds' Deadpool smack down in the middle of it. So do a, you know, Nightmare on Elm Street, but with him, that sort of thing. You know what I mean? I use that because he's burnt like Freddy Krueger. But I mean, it's like, you know what I mean? It keeps the essence of the character Deadpool and just puts in, put him into, exactly. So with Cable being in it, he's going to be the straight man. He's going to be the serious,
right, the
Murtaugh of the group. You know what I mean? He'll probably have his one funny line, but it's always, you know, yeah, exactly. He's going to have that. If he uses that line, by the way, I will cheer in the
theater. I was going to say, that'll be awesome.
I'll be like, yes, because he's from the future, which makes him super old. But yeah, to answer your question, yes and no. I don't want them to try to redo what they did. I want them to take and expand on it. So keep the funny, snarky, fucking crude mouth Deadpool making a snide comments about the brown pants and things like that, but continue building that universe out with more and more characters. Because like in the first movie, Colossus was that straight man,
right?
He was the solid character. Solid character. That was unintended.
Pun intended.
But he was that bounce off board. Well, Cable's going to be the same thing, but it's going to ramp up the action quite a bit, which is great because the director they got is one of the guys who created and directed John Wick. So I mean, the action is going to be ridiculous.
Centralized, like one centralized joke theme, the same way there was in the first, because the first movie, the centralized joke theme was Francis.
Yes. I mean, it'll be, like, and that's why I say the buddy cop thing comes to mind, because I think it's going to be between those two, where he's going to be making fun of Cable nonstop the entire time, and for whatever reason, Cable's going to, you know, going to need him for whatever it is or whatever happens to be. So it's like that necessary thing where they have to work together.
So there will be a I don't want to say returning, but there's going to be that one thing that remains throughout the
it could be the teddy bear, it could be the metal arm, like how do you rip your dick off with it, that sort of stuff. Just he's gonna something's be the punchline to all his jokes and nothing's gonna make him crack, and eventually the Cable's gonna say something or do something that's funny, and it's either gonna be one of two things: they're gonna react or no one reacts except for Deadpool's like, really, nobody.
That'll be the fourth wall.
Yeah, you know, that'd be the fourth wall break sort of thing. So
all right, back on track.
New characters entering.
Jeez,
Stranger Things.
I'm 2. Impressed that you still remember.
Yep, I am too. So no, you have Max.
Yep.
You have Billy. Yep. You have Bob, and you have Murray, and you have the Doctor, who is the scientist guy from Aliens, Paul Reiser. So of those, do you think they all really worked well, or if any of them didn't work well?
I think for the most part, they all worked well. I had no problem with them. I heard that there were some people online that thought that Max didn't make sense into the whole introduction.
Those people are dumb.
Neither did Billy, because, you know, their storyline didn't make sense and didn't need it. And it's like, I get what you're saying, but at the same time, it's like, schools all the time have new people coming in. There are people moving all over the place. You're just being more realistic. And then, you know, there's a girl that, you know, can play video games and beat their high score. And so that's what was so enthralling to them to find out. Their story was a little bit irritating just because they seem to heavily imply at the beginning that there's some sort of weirdness going on with her. You know, especially with the way they cold open the show or this season with that bank robbery, and everybody's wearing masks, and you're like, who are these people? And then they suddenly just jump into to Max and Billy talking and just having an argument with each other, and you're like, are they one of them? Are they hiding out? What the fuck is going on? But I think, you know, they were good for what they were, especially the guy who played Billy, who was just a fucking psychotic asshole. Played it very well.
Dacre Montgomery.
Yeah. Obviously, I think Paul Reiser's character made complete sense and needed to be in this. You needed somebody else to fill in that doctor role. Bob, I wish they would have. It's one of those things I wish you could go back and put him in season one, so he just doesn't pop up as a sudden character in season two, because they especially made reference that he was the founder of the AV Club, yep, which is what these kids are in, and he runs the Radio Shack, which you would think that these kids would be in all the time. So, you know, I wish there was that connection, even if it would be just brief from the first season, you know, to introduce him and then bring him into the second season. But, you know, he's a love interest for what's her name?
Joyce.
For Joyce. And, you know, she needs that.
Besides
Hopper. Yeah.
I believe the couple name was Boyce.
Yes. Yeah. But he, I mean, his character made sense to me. There wasn't any character in here that didn't make sense to me. I wish there was more to it.
You didn't think it was weird that Hellboy is in it?
Oh, Hellboy's in the first one.
So mad.
What the fuck is he talking about?
The guy, Octopus Hopper?
Yeah.
Is the new Hellboy.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Mike doesn't know what he's talking about because he's just trying to get you riled up. Because, other than the fact that he knows that guy's from Stranger Things,
yeah,
that's all he knows.
Yeah. No, the only weirdness that I had with this season, I know that a lot of people actually didn't really like it, was where she goes to Chicago, and you're introduced to those characters over in Chicago. Now, I understand it. I think I understand it from a filmmaking point of view. You've spent so much time in Hawkins that's all you believe this world to be.
Yes.
Is Hawkins.
Yep.
You know the year, or round about the year.
83.
It does specifically say it in this one.
Well, it said in the first one, too.
Yeah. But that's where you spent all your time. And so, to me, it's like, that's the world. Like, that's everything. There's nothing outside of Hawkins, or if there is, it's just more Hawkins, you know, or more places like Hawkins. And then suddenly you travel to... it was Chicago, right?
Yep, Chicago.
And you're like, this just feels so strange, so weird. And the characters that you're introduced to, I can't remember her name, 8, and then you had the Mohawk guy.
Axel.
The crazy black chick and the crazy white chick.
And then the big black guy.
Oh, yeah, and then the big black guy. I totally forgot about him. They were so weird. It felt so uncomfortable. And as much as I liked that story arc, and you're learning more about Eleven's past, it just felt really weird. And I do think that's what the creators were going for. It's not, you're not supposed to be comfortable here, because Eleven's not supposed to be comfortable here. And it's another reason for her to be driven back to Hawkins. But I do like that it does definitely flesh out the story of the research facility, and you find out that what's his name might still be alive.
Brenner,
yeah. And you find out that all of that these test subjects didn't necessarily have the same powers as Eleven as you might imagine that that they did. Yeah, how about you?
I actually liked them all. Mm-hmm. I thought it was a good way to expand the cast, even with some cannon fodder. Poor Bob.
Right.
But to actually add on to your whole Chicago thing. So the city that is referred to as Hawkins in the real world, because Hawkins, Indiana doesn't exist, is Somerset.
Mm-hmm.
So Somerset, and I'm going to bring up a map so you can see it. This is Somerset, Indiana.
Okay.
This is Chicago, Illinois.
All right. They're really near each other.
Yes.
Yeah.
So the reason why Chicago played such a big event is because her mom lives up here.
Okay.
South Bend.
Yeah.
That's where her mother lives with her sister. Her aunt, I don't know if she's her sister, but her aunts. And so it's obviously they ran to the big city sort of thing. But yeah, and I mean, it didn't bother me at all. They jumped there because you need something large scale like that. And it's having such a ramp, like a crime rampage in Hawkins would easily obviously just be too much.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I don't think Chicago was the end all place. I think that's happened to where they go because they were trying to find all those people from the institute mm-hmm. that were doing what they were doing to those kids. So it wasn't so much like, oh, they just picked Chicago, but whatever, right? Because they filmed this in Georgia.
Yeah.
So it's not like they, you know, was right there or whatever. They just, it just happens to be like that's probably the closest major city that's outside of Indiana.
Yeah.
So, but I think Dacon Montgomery's Billy was by far my favorite ad because he was something of a counterpart human to the supernatural stuff that you really need to break it up.
Yeah.
Because now they have this antagonist that isn't a monster.
Yeah.
Because you have Brenner, but Brenner and his goons were like that, like the shadowy, they weren't really a force to be reckoned with. They were just too powerful for these kids.
Yeah.
But having a bully, they're around their same age, like age group, because obviously there's the four main kids and then their older siblings. Having that counterpoint, I think, is a nice way of doing it, because then eventually you could even use him as a conduit for something bad.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I think the development of his character was, I think, too late in the show, in the season, because a lot of people were like, he's just an asshole. But you got to realize, it comes from somewhere. And when you see his dad slap him,
yes,
and bully him around, you just go, "Oh, he's
that's where it comes from."
Yeah, you know, this is definitely like a real person. Like, this is a real thing. He's not just being a dick. Like, cause Steve was kind of a dick, but he was like a privileged dick in the first season. You know,
yes,
he was just that rich kid, mm-hmm. and so he could do what he wanted. He was never turned down by the ladies he wanted. And so, like, when he felt threatened by Jonathan in the first season, he acted out. Billy comes in, finds out who the top shit was, and instantly goes after him, like prison yard rules. You take down the biggest guy, and you're the new king, you know what I mean?
Yes.
So that's what it was. My favorite part of Billy is the fact that he's the atypical 80s douche.
Yes.
He is every 80s movie villain that's like not a criminal of some sort, like a real like shoot-em-up criminal, all in one. So he's all of Cobra Kai. I mean, literally every single entry. Yep. He's every single one of them. Like at one point, he yells, "Billy, sweep the leg." He's like, "Okay," like to himself, you know, that sort of thing. But he's like this. He's larger than life. He's obnoxious. He's loud. He's rude. He smokes cigarettes all the fucking time, supposed to be in high school. Like,
yeah,
you know, drives an obnoxious car. And then like, my favorite thing is this in episode 9, I believe, is when he goes to the Wheeler's house to find his sister, and the mom is in the bath reading the novel. And if you look at the front of the novel, it's a guy who has a mullet like his.
Yeah.
He's ringing the doorbell, knocking the door. She's trying to yell at her husband, who's asleep in the armchair downstairs, like, to get the door. So she has to get out of the tub, get down there, and of course she's wearing a house robe, kind of showing off some skin, and he's just like there with his open shirt and his sweaty fucking body, and she's just like, my stars. Yeah, it was really funny.
Yeah.
And like he instantly cranks up like the fucking, like, the charm.
Mm-hmm.
And like one point he's like, oh, he's less seductive with like a cookie, and like all this stuff is really funny.
Yeah.
Made me giggle a lot. But I think my favorite additions to it would be Brett Gelman's Murray, who's the reporter. Who helps Nancy and Jonathan? Well, Jonathan and Nancy help him bring down the lab and figure everything out. But my favorite line he has was ad libbed.
Oh, was it?
During the breakfast.
Yeah.
So, for people who haven't watched, Mike, Taj, there's a part where they go to this disgraced reporter who thinks he's on the right path to this Russian conspiracy. And he's on the right path, just not to what he thinks it is, because he thinks 11 is a Russian human weapon, which, like I said, he's kind of right, but not right, because it's not Russian. They say, you know, that he's got this timeline. He lives in this, like, abandoned warehouse type thing, and he's got an automatic door lock and cameras, like, just super crazy. Well, they go to him, and they decide to make this plan. Well, they start to get a little drunk. So he has them, he's like, you know, don't drive. Just stay here, and you can leave in the morning. And then he starts to, like, break down the relationship. He's like, oh, so you're a cute couple. And they're like, no, we're not a couple. He's like, well, you know. And he just instantly just destroys what they think. And they're like, just tells them what they already know inside, but they haven't acted on, like, the fact they have feelings for each other. And so he's like, well, fine. You can there's a pull-out couch in my office. You can sleep there, and you can take the other room, right? So they have a Well, that was weird. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
It was fucking crazy. It was a weird bird noise. It came right through the headphones. What's the... God damn, I'm trying to think of the movie that they basically were homaging to. One with Bruce Willis inside the house with... what's her face? Moonlighting.
Okay.
Yeah.
Moonlight?
Moonlight.
Yeah.
Yeah, Moonlight. Yeah.
I was going to say, Moonlighting, not a movie.
It was a movie. Moonlight. Is the name of the movie right?
Moonlighting was a TV show.
Was it a movie? What was the movie that Bruce Willis was in that's like that? Hold on. Let's look it up.
Movie.
Where he lived in a house. What?
He was staying at his girlfriend's house or something.
I'm pretty sure Moonlighting did star Bruce Willis, but it was not.
Yeah, that was a TV show.
There was a movie with that premise in it. Oh, was that the TV show one? That was the TV show one. I'm thinking Moonlighting. Let's see here. Bruce Willis, where's your movieography? Shut up. Filmography. Early one. I can't. There's way too much shit on here to remember.
Yeah.
A busy guy.
Yeah, he's a... anyways, yeah. So basically, there's like this
13 movies.
Yeah, this motherfucker's done some shit. There's a part where basically they're both laying in bed and they're I have it in front of me. I don't know why you showed me. They're both in bed, restless, and they decide like they're gonna go confront the other one. And so like the part where they meet in the hallway and they have this discussion, and then like. They walk away, and then at one point she looks over her shoulder, and then she turns away, he looks over his shoulder, and that sort of thing. And then eventually they do it again, where they like kiss and embrace, and then they go into the room, and you think they bang. We don't really know. It's pretty much what happens.
They bang.
Yeah. In the morning, the next morning, Brett Gelman's character, Murray, makes them all breakfast. And so they're all sitting down, and he's got this shit-eating grin on his face because they won't look at each other. But they keep like looking at each other, but not at the same time, you know, stealing glances. And he's like, and he looks at John and goes, so how was that pullout? And he's like, he's drinking orange juice at the time. He comes like, well, he's like, you know, the pullout couch in my office. And he goes, it was
didn't happen
real good. And then he has that shitty looking grin. He's trying to like, he's bringing up a fork full of eggs and it falls off. And he goes, oops, like this. And that part was ad-libbed.
Uh-huh.
And you can see like Nancy starts to break and they cut. And that's when she starts laughing. You see it in the after show they did. one of the greatest jokes of all time in that show is just like how inappropriate that mm-hmm. joke is, and the fact that like he not only got teenagers drunk in his house, but he let them fuck.
Yeah.
It was just amazing. And of course, him at the end of the end of the season, sitting outside with his van, watching the military police escort everybody out and get everything out, and he's just like,
and then like, one officer yep, just flips him off.
Yeah. So funny. Bob was a great character, but I knew he was going to die. Which he was actually supposed to die earlier, but so was Steve. Steve was supposed to die in like episode 3, mm-hmm. around the same time Barb died. He didn't, because they liked the character too much as they're going through. And then same thing with Bob, is like they're like he's kind of there just for fodder, but they're like they kind of kept going. And they're like eventually they're like we have to kill him. Like we already have plans for other stuff, and they won't tell us what it is. They're like, well, we need like he needs to, and like we can sacrifice him and make it worthwhile.
And it was,
and it was worthwhile. And it's not the time I thought he was going to die.
No, because they led up to that, and I'm like, he's going
to
die right
now. Oh, yeah, so when it gets to that part, I was like, oh, he's going to get out, and something's going to happen later, right? And then, like, they got to that, like, slow-mo. I was like, oh, never mind, this is it. This is exactly where he's going to die.
Yeah, no.
It's a slow-mo run. He looks back. I was like, oh, fuck, this is it. And he gets out to the doors.
The moment that he exits that closet and knocks over that broom, I'm like, he's dead.
I thought they were going to do is like, that, and then they was going to, like, lead up to him, like, getting away narrowly or whatever, you know?
I wanted that to happen, definitely.
What turned me to
that Harper was right there.
Oh yeah, what turned me to knowing he was going to die is that slow mo run.
Yes,
where he kept looking back, and the demo dog came getting closer yep. and closer. And you're like, obviously, this fat nerd is not going to outrun a fucking supernatural dog beast thing. No. So he's going. I was like, all right. So I was like, they're going to get him right. He's going to tackle him right through the door, and like it's going to be traumatic for everybody. And he gets to the door, and I was like, oh, he's going to fucking survive. And then they do that. He stops there and goes, yeah. And then just, oh, I was like, all right, well, that's exactly.
Yeah. That's I'm just exactly, sitting there going, moo.
Just run. Don't shut the door and run. Don't just like, yeah. Ha-ha, I got him, motherfucker.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was awesome. I thought Max fit in really well because she's a tomboy. So well. The video game thing worked out really well.
It was a reason for 11 to like really come back and the hate, you know,
yeah.
that she had.
Yep.
Because she saw Will with her in secret. She came, you
saw
know,
Mike and her.
Sorry, Mike and her in the gym as she's yep. skating around. So she thinks that Mike and her
have like a thing. Yep.
A thing. And
she doesn't understand it.
Exactly.
It's all out of context.
The yeah. interaction between her and Hopper was amazing.
11 and Hopper?
Yeah.
That's yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. 11 yeah. and Hopper.
Yeah. Greatest. They had team ups in this that were fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And Steve and Dustin were definitely one of them.
Yes.
And Hopper and 11 combo were fucking fantastic.
Yeah.
The triad of Max, Dustin, and Lucas were fantastic as well. That yeah. love triangle, prepubescent love triangle. Which, I mean, it sucks for Dustin, but, you know, he got left in the dust. But yeah, season 3. Get him a girl, too. You
never know. Yeah.
I mean, even Will got some action at the end with the fucking girl. Comes up and calls him Zombie Girl. And
right.
Zombie Boy. And asked yeah. him to dance.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, it sucks that Sean Astin's not going to be in season 3 for the most part. I mean, maybe a corpse. But, spoiler, he died.
Shit.
If you haven't got that point from now. But I did like his character and the way that he, like, I thought it was funny because it's like, hey, this is what your life's going to be like. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, this is, you're from Hawkins, Indiana. You're in the AV club. You don't have a lot of friends. You're going to be the fat guy who runs Radio Shack,
yeah.
who is like the third choice of a divorced mom.
Yep.
Who has kids.
Yep.
I was like, well, that's depressing, but, you know, good for him.
Right.
Good for him. To always, you know, clean her up a little bit. She's going to be hot because, yeah. you know, Winona Ryder is a really attractive lady. In real life, just not so much in training things where they, you know, kind of blind her up and everything.
Yeah.
She doesn't wear makeup. She wears boys' clothes. But yeah, I know. But I'm on board for Joyce Hopper because I thought that's what's going to happen after season 1.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, well, those two are definitely going to be together. Yeah. I was incorrect. They were not together.
But it's heavily implied towards the
end. Oh, definitely.
At this one.
Well, yeah. in the beginning, too. Like, when he mentions the...
Well, they flirt a lot.
Yeah, yes, of course.
They
yeah.
flirt a lot. But I'm just saying, with Bob out of the way...
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah. Oh, the way no, it, the he, way it ends. I didn't get my machine gun up in time. Just kidding. He didn't actually let Bob die.
No, he definitely tried to save him, but...
those Demodogs do not... Demodogs bullets?
Just, they were just like, infected. What? What? I don't know what's hitting me.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if he just thought maybe I'm better at this machine gun thing than these other soldiers are, but those Demodogs walked through bullets.
How amazing and terrifying and stressful was episode 9 for you?
I have a patch of hair missing out of the back side of my head.
Fair enough.
You weren't using that hair anyways.
It's no, you can't even tell because there's too much hair there already.
God yeah. Wolfman looking motherfucker.
Yeah, bitch! Rawr! I can't do the growl like Dustin does because I would love to do that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that like, half chewy growl. Yeah.
Yeah.
He does it so well. You'd have to watch it to understand that, Mike.
I get it.
No, you don't. No, you don't. You don't truly get it. You don't at all. Like that whole thing is like,
because they get the plan together, they know what the fuck they're gonna do. Eleven shows up and is just a fucking badass as she snaps that one dog, Demodog's neck and throws it through the window.
Which I thought was funny, like a cat would do. Like it brought you a present.
Yeah,
I was
right. Like,
that's pretty funny. Speaking of cats, poor Meowth.
Oh, right.
His name is, Dustin's cat's name was.
Yeah.
It became Demodog Chow.
Yep.
Very graphic.
Seriously graphic.
Good.
You're a fucking monster.
You kind of are a fucking monster. But.
You're not surprised by that.
The interaction between Dustin and Darth kind of saved them in the end. D'Artagnan. Yeah. D'Artagnan. Kind of saved them in the end.
Yep.
You know. But yeah, that last episode, goddamn. So they form the plan, they split up, they do their own thing. The
whole rah-rah speech in the house was made me laugh because like Steve's trying to tell him like, you know, we are on the bench.
Yeah,
bench people don't do anything. We sit here and wait for the star players to do their thing, and then we cheer them on.
Yep.
And they're like, no, we're not bench, we're defense. And he's like, that's not how it works. You don't get it. Like, yeah. He's like, we're not dealing with sports analogies. I just want to look at him and go, we're running by D&D rules, bitch. It's a party.
Yeah.
Parties help the everybody out. But yeah, like that part was awesome. The other part too is you finally get to see the amount of demo dogs that are out there.
Yes.
Because they're in the tunnels and like they're coming after him and Steve's getting ready and then they realize they just run past him, and it's just dog after dog after dog after dog after dog. I was like, oh, there's way more than like the 8 or so we saw inside the Hawkins lab. That shit was just jammed with them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they finally get to the lab, and Eleven is trying to close that giant gate.
It was full Super Saiyan?
Oh, my God. Yeah. And the dogs just start jumping up on the elevator. And Hopper's
taking them out.
Just sitting there, just taking them out.
Apparently, the way to beat them with guns is A, high-caliber shotguns, and up close. Yeah. Which you definitely don't want to be too up close to those Demodogs because those things are dangerous flowers.
How much were you expecting that the kill? I can't remember what they
called
it.
Mind Flayer?
The Mind Flayer. To just like come through.
Well, I mean, did with the smoke tentacle,
right? But more solid.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, I don't think he is solid. I think what Will saw in his visions was the form of it,
mm-hmm.
and then him breaking into the actual physical plane is that smoke because mm-hmm. it wasn't. I mean, obviously, it wasn't as much because it started doing the swirling. So I think you saw it, which very very similar to a xenomorph for sure.
It really was.
But yeah, when it breaks the gates plane, it's that smoke, and it was headed right at her. I was like,
"Yeah,
oh, don't do this!
No,
don't do this! Don't let her get taken!"
So fucking close.
Yeah, I was like,
"Getting her."
Will's a smart kid, but he does not have fucking mind powers like that crazy ass bitch does.
No, but you're right. Yeah, she goes like full Super Saiyan.
It starts floating off the ground,
and just starts burning
it
up.
You can see it like burning, and then like the gates start shutting. Yeah, dude, when they showed that the full gate. This time I was like, "Oh, you motherfuckers done fucked up,
right?"
Because you've seen the first season, right, Taj? All right, so you know the gate that they go in and out of at the end. A Hopper and Joyce go through it to the
upside down
to save Will. So that's back. Little more broad in its opening. Looks like less of a demon vagina and more just like a rip in the wall. Tell me the first one didn't look like a demon vagina.
No, I've been wanting to say it, but I've been holding off. Yes.
Why? It comes naturally, buddy.
That's true.
Fuck it. We have a rating R already, so let's do this. True. Demon so, vagina.
Yeah. No, it does look like it. Now, you're saying it doesn't look so much like it. I think it looked like a ginormous demon
vagina. Well, no, I'll get there in a minute. So in the first season, it looks very much like a demon vagina. The new one looks like a solid, like, tear in the wall, so it's less of a demon vagina. Then you find out that that's, like, the
that's
the
literally hood. The top.
That's the hood?
You know, you know what I mean? You tickle the hood.
You know, like,
yeah.
It actually goes a lot. And
eventually, if you tickle it right, it comes out. Like, you know,
so
that's
it is a gigantic.
So they cut a hole in the floor because they find out that it goes underground, and it's literally like 40 feet tall.
Yeah.
And that's literally just the where it's the top.
40 foot tall vagina.
It's, you know, like they always say, like, it's the tip of the iceberg. Literally the tip of the iceberg. And you open, you look in the hole. It's funny because the hole isn't cut all the way to the wall, which I thought was really weird at first. Like, why? Like, that seems like an odd place for this hole to be. And they have the elevator and they're going down. And as soon as they get past, like, the main, like, foundation of the building, it's in this giant, and you see it, and it's, like, funny, because they don't show it. They just show Hopper and, what's-his-face, glowing, and then the camera shows it, and it's the elevator's just going down. There's this giant fucking demon vagina on the wall.
Yeah.
Do you think that when they wrote it all up, that's exactly what they were going for?
In quotes, it said gate. It said gate, and then in quotes, it said demon vagina.
So, yes.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And it was about to give birth to a ginormous,
that thing
evil
was,
thing.
Yeah.
The mind flayer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just don't think it has enough energy to actually breach the gate. That's why I was sending the smoke through.
Right. But, yeah, I don't know. Because I don't think at that point the gate was probably big enough for it.
Or yeah, that's what I mean. Like that. It didn't have enough power to open up completely for the full size of it to go through.
Yeah.
But, yeah. And the best part is, like, obviously, the end of the first season, leave it open for the second season.
Yep.
Second season, they open up for a whole lot more.
Mm-hmm.
Because that shit's not over.
No. The one thing that gets me is that you don't know what happens to the smoke that leaves Will. You think it just flies out into the
You don't know if it's still buzzing around. It could have gone into somebody.
Still floating around somewhere.
Could have got into Billy. We don't know how to him. Could have
gotten Billy, exactly what I'm thinking. And plus the ending with it hovering over the school.
Yeah, the gymnasium for the snowball.
And another thing that you don't really realize is that they were able to capture it on video and outline it, which means that it does have some sort of effect.
Well, yeah, because it affected
in
Will.
Our world.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
But I think it has to be, I think it's the point where it's some, there's
a, but this, it doesn't need that tear, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, eventually he's going to find a power source big enough to be able to breach through.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why, because he was
so
able
it
to.
It does have an effect on our world. We just don't see it or directly know it.
Unless you have
Will
a link,
was
like
a
Will.
Little bit more, was more in tune with it because he was already on the upside down. Yeah,
and it was affected by it, obviously, by the slug thing.
But the JVC camcorder that they have.
Fantastic, by the
could
way.
Could see, which so was good. Fantastic, by the way. Could see the outline of it in a static form in the video.
Which so means video does, can capture it. Like which, a magnetic can video can
so
capture
there,
it. Yeah.
So it does have enough power to affect things in our world, just not enough to actually make big difference in our world is really what I'm saying. Yeah. Yeah. So with that little bit of it still on this side, possibly, you know, even though you close the gate, like what happens in season 3 is going to be terrifying.
Yeah, well, because the lab is now defunct.
Yep, lab's defunct.
Which means that gate could easily open up back up again and no one would know.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it obviously probably not going to do it that way. But yeah, I mean, it was so fucking good. Seriously, need to watch it.
Okay.
Watch episode 1, season 1. That's it. If you're not fully invested by the end of the episode, I'm sorry, but you're never going to be.
Okay.
You better be.
Oh, he will be. I'll watch it. He'll be. He won't watch it.
I'll watch it.
When are you going to watch it? I want a report from you tomorrow when we see Thor.
All right.
Yes, that's a commitment.
On you watching it.
Yeah.
Yes. Not a report of you not watching it.
I don't believe any of that.
Also, yes.
Here is my book report.
All of a sudden, I don't.
Read a book?
Feel a little like, doubt there? Yes, I like when the...
Why did you read The Great Gatsby? That had nothing to do with this at all.
Stranger Gatsby's.
Oh.
That was the combination of the two.
Yes.
I missed that. Thanks.
You're welcome. That's why I explained it to you. Sometimes you're slow. Let's see what else. Oh, thanks, buddy. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's a jackal. The jackal. It's a jackal.
Is it a jackal?
It's a jackal.
It's a jackal.
It's a jackal.
Dun, dun, dun. I think that's all I had for Stranger Things talk. And the fact is, just like,
yeah, I can't think of much else.
Yeah, everybody watch it. What's wrong with you?
Everybody watch it.
Yeah, Mike.
Yeah,
I can't wait till like tomorrow when I see you for the movie.
Yeah.
And you're like, I'm like, yo, did you watch Thor 1? He's like, no, I've been busy watching Stranger Things because you were so right. And I just like called out to work. And I was like, yes.
I'm not going to lie. I don't see that happening.
Oh, it'll happen.
Okay.
I just want you to make it through the first two episodes and want to watch the rest of them. I can't. And then watch the rest of them.
And make no promises about anything. That's how I live my life. Wishy-washy as fuck.
Wishy-washy next Wednesday.
Next Wednesday.
Yeah.
Because Cody has to work.
I will for sure have seen at least one episode by then. 100% guarantee it.
Okay.
Probably.
Just gonna hate you.
Cliffhanger.
I want to say I don't like you, but I don't fucking like you.
Word.
Word.
True.
True.
Tune in next week. Find out what we think about Thor, and what I think about at least one episode of Stranger Things, and we're gonna eat hot sauces.
It's not next week.
That's not gonna happen next week either.
Coming soon.
Coming soon.
Actually, speaking of coming soon.
Oh boy.
Comes actually, we are
Joe,
Mike.
I am Cody. We were joined by
Taz,
and as usual, you fuckers just came naturally.
In your face.
Scott and douche.